Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Game of Thrones. Tonight's host is Bethany Jaber. Joining Bethany will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Nathan Hertz, Curtis Taylor, and Sarah Stretton. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Game of Thrones news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Bethany Jaber!
Hello out there, and welcome. We are going to be covering episodes 6 and 7, The Golden Crown, and You Will Die this evening. I want to speak out real quick to some of our reviews that have been out there on iTunes and on other things. We were really enjoying them over the weekend. I said, well, some of us got a chance to read them. Not everybody mm-hmm. did. But I thought it was interesting because some people were like, dude, you said Dothraki wrong. And, you know, I apologize. Yeah. Like, I think what's fun about this show is that... Whoa.
We're having a good technical difficulty.
That's what's fun about the show. Okay, here we go. All right, I think what's fun about it is that, you know, like Sarah's reading the books. She's working on them. Like Curtis and I are coming from like a perspective of just focusing on the series. Yeah. And so it's just, you're getting a lot of different perspectives. So I apologize if we're getting things wrong at times. But we really have like grown to love mm-hmm. this series.
Well, that's
and what
makes
HBO
it special.
Is doing with it. Yeah.
That's what makes it special. I mean, the viewers have they're more involved. They can say, hey, this is what we're doing wrong and, mm-hmm. and we can fix it and so forth. So you guys do have an opinion and you guys can change some things on the show. Which
yeah,
is cool.
And feel free to give us a buzz here. The number is 424-256-1729 because, you know, if we are pronouncing things wrong, we want to know.
Yeah, and it's live. You can call us and...
Yeah, yeah. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue, not necessarily a study.
Yeah.
Because...
And we always are talking amongst ourselves about the pronunciations because there's so many. We're always like, well, wait, is it like an I or a Y or an E?
It's tough. Usually in a soap opera structure, which this very much is, mm-hmm. If you notice in soap operas, the characters say each other's names all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the text, you're like, God, why am I saying Tim's name like 12 times in 3 pages? But it's so the viewers... Mm-hmm. who are just tuning in kind of can like catch up really quickly. Yeah. That does not happen in the series because it has a really faithful following. So like once you learn that character's name, like you get lucky if they mention it again.
Yeah, exactly. Or they may even change the name.
Yeah, and there's a lot of characters to follow, but we're having fun with it.
Yeah.
And it's things are really heating up.
Yeah.
So much.
By the way, Bethany.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
That's
but
okay.
I just want to say also to fans, you know, what we want to offer here is within the industry opinion, you know. Yeah. Obviously, all of you are actors in the industry. Some of you are also starting to now produce your own stuff. And actually, Bethany is in CW's Heart of Dixie. And so we're offering that perspective as well. And so, you know, we're not the total fanboy package, but that's why, you know, we want to deliver it to you. And we want it to be very interactive in that regard.
Thank you, Phil. I like that. I wish I was. I'm a fanboy with some things. I'm learning to be a fanboy with this slowly but surely. For you listeners, we're going to try to get there. So let's start off with the Golden Crown, a little bit of that episode. Mm-hmm. I love that where Ned starts, our king ends up.
That is, I didn't really think about it, but as you said it, that is very, they do a lot of little symmetry.
Little bookending. Mm-hmm,
very good in this episode. And that is really cool. I mean, we saw the beginning of this episode is right after Jaime Lannister kind of went after Ned Stark, and Ned Stark's like bedridden. And we enter this conversation with Robert and Cersei. Standing above their bed, and Cersei's like, oh, we're going to punish you, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. Robert, the king, obviously disagrees with his wife and goes so far as to hit her.
I know.
In the face, something we have not seen him do. As much as we've seen him yell at her and tell her to shut up, we've never seen him get physically violent. So he goes so far as to hit her in the face and kind of quiets her for a second.
Yeah, well, she says to him, she's like, I took you for a king.
Yeah.
And he's, and then she goes, and then
he should be wearing the, yeah. She was like, I should be wearing the crown and you should be wearing the dress or something like that.
Along those lines.
Yeah, she kind of goes after his masculinity. Yeah. That's
but I told you guys, it didn't feel like they had a love affair from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to that where she worshipped him. Mm-hmm. She thought highly of him, but he never had this relationship that she...
No, but she admits in this episode that she really did love him.
That she, well, she didn't admit that she loved him. She admit that she worshipped him.
Yeah, she had a fantasy for him.
Exactly. She was a fantasy for him. It wasn't really love. It was a fantasy. She expected him to be this man that come to find out he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. It was a fantasy that he tore down himself.
Exactly, that he tore
down
himself.
It was just like one of those, like, oh, I thought that was going to be amazing. Oh,
yeah, it was like, it was a dud.
And then it's like more sad because she's worked it up so much in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
But it wasn't love. Yeah.
It wasn't love.
It was like a fantasy and it was a worship thing and he tore it down himself, just like Sarah said.
Speaking of symmetry, in my opinion, like Cersei's tale of being in love with Robert before they got married kind of mirrors. I might say this wrong because Curtis and I are trying to figure this out. We're not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. I think it's Sansa or Zanza or Curtis.
Sansa.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll go with what you said, sir. We'll go with that.
Sansa. Okay. So Sansa, it's kind of like that where she has this huge idea of how she wants to be queen and marry this little prince. And it's a lot like the situation, in my opinion, of when Cersei wanted to be Robert's wife when he was taking over the Seven Kingdoms. Mm-hmm. So another little symmetry thing they like to throw in there.
I really enjoyed a lot of the dialogue.
I did
in this episode specifically, because when he hits her, she goes, "I will wear it like a badge of honor," and
he's like, "I'll wear it like a badge of silence or
and
something."
Wear it in silence, and I'm like, "Oh my god, this is getting dramatic and so delicious."
I have a joke for that, but I can't say it.
You know, you can't. You know, yeah, all right, that's okay.
No, I you know,
just, I'm kind of scared of whatever.
No, it's just it's the joke. You know, you probably heard it, but it's a sharp joke to that. It's like, what do you call when there's a joke that says, what does a man say to a woman that has two black eyes? And he says nothing. He already told her twice.
Oh,
so it's kind of,
I've heard
it's
that kind way. Of, I don't like it. Kind of,
I see why you didn't
The reason why I was saying this is because that's exactly what the black eye represented. He was, he told her and then he like punched her like a dude.
He
and it was kind of crazy.
He did.
And then he kind of said something like that.
Aggressive.
I've told you already.
So much happened with the imp in this episode.
Yeah.
He's I
and the revealing because the bedside. Well, what Sarah actually said when Sansa was talking about Joffrey, and them merging and becoming wedding, you know, being married, and how the stag opposed to the lion per se, and There was a connection that happened with Ned during that portion, you know, where he connected the dots with Cersei and Jaime being the father of Joffrey. And that was huge.
That was huge.
It was a huge play in this, in the first one. So I thought that was,
Yeah, it's something that the audience obviously has been watching grow, like all these suspicions about bloodlines and parents, and we see the affair early on, and it finally really clicks Ned that, oh, wait, these little blonde kids aren't Robert's kids. They're their kids.
I know.
Obviously. Yeah.
So that was deep. That was deep in the sense that, you know, like you said, from the beginning, we were all trying to guess. You know, is this that can't be, you know, they're all blonde, and then for it to come out like that and you're like, aha, it was an aha moment, you know, for the viewers. At least it was for me.
He had an Oprah aha moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes to that genealogy book and he's like, black hair.
Yeah.
Black hair. The hair of black. And it does. It definitely registers with him. But I want to get over to the imp real quick. Mm-hmm. He's out there in the cold on this ledge, and he keeps trying to contact the man at the door, who, like, cannot be... The man has no sense of logic.
Yeah.
No logic.
Barbaric.
And he keeps trying to, like, bribe him, and the guy can't even, like...
Yeah. It's almost, process two
it's
thoughts.
Almost
he can't
as
put
as
two
he's
thoughts together.
Completely illiterate. He's just like,
one track. Gold. Where's gold? Where's gold? This is one track. Yeah. You know,
he finally reaches out to him and he gets in front of Lady Stark's crazy sister and evil little child. Mm-hmm. and they reveal to him the moon door. Yeah. And he does like another little. I guess Duke of Wits, and he manages to get. Is he a knight? The man who fights for him I guess he would be a knight.
He's a knight.
Yeah,
I think he's like. I'm not sure if he's like an official knight, like one of like the keepers of the realm or whatnot. But he's definitely one of the people that Catelyn picked up to escort the imp as a prisoner.
Yes, he did.
And then he changes sides and says he'll be the imp's champion.
Like, and I love how he does it so haphazardly. Like, it's almost as he's like, I mean, he wasn't picking his teeth with a toothpick, but he was kind of like, all right, why not?
Yeah.
Let's make life interesting. This castle's kind of boring for me now. Mm. I'll duke it out for you.
And that's one thing. One thing is certain. We don't know if he's a knight. But we do know that guy can fight, so.
Yeah.
So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I closed my eyes.
It was a good battle.
It was a good battle.
Which is interesting because Tyrion, which is the imp, you know, we talked about that also as far as him not being a soldier or him, you know, not being strong, you know, physically. But he's very strong mentally. And he talked about how he had mind. And he talked about how he... You know, that has more power, more weight than a sword. And he used that. You've seen how he flexed his muscles and he used his mind to overcome all these people that were out, you know, they were against him. And he changed some minds with his mind. And that was kind of.
I was rooting for him.
Yeah, I
and
was
I've,
too.
I've been rooting for him for a couple episodes now.
Yeah.
Which was funny because when he was at the wall, I wanted nothing to do with him. I was like, you're an evil little man. But now I'm 100.
Yeah.
I think I'm rooting for him because I know he's innocent. I think that's part of it. What is it for you guys?
Oh, I was actually gonna speak more on what you said, and so true that like it was really interesting to me this whole thing about him using his wits to get out of this completely like. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you would think impenetrable circumstance.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, exactly. Every single person was against him. And somehow, he found, like, not just one loophole.
Yeah.
But he found, like, every single loophole. And he, like, predicted where everyone was going. He was like, oh, well, they're going to send trial. Oh, well, they're going to then say this, and then say this. And then I'm going to figure it out. You know, like... He's like, he knew every step. The only thing I thought he got a little muddled on was when he wanted, like, his brother to come fight for him and be his champion. But still, he managed to get his way out.
Well, but you know why he did that? Because he knew that they wouldn't go and get Jaime. So he did that. It was one of those strategies where, you know, he got someone else to fight his battle. I think what would really...
There's, like porn on the screen right now. Sorry, Sarah and I, we were listening
dry.
To you, and we both were like...
It's soft porn. There's nothing going on between that.
Okay, sorry,
but,
continue.
No, what I like about him and what's drawing me to him is that he represents the underdog.
Okay.
You know, he's like the leader of the underdogs. Even at the wall, we found out that you know, he meant a lot to John and them, you know, to watch North Gate or the North Wall. So he represents the underdog. He, you know, people that don't look physically strong or don't, you know, look like they can, you know, they can achieve a lot of things. But if they apply themselves mentally and, you know, learn a lot of different things, then you can overcome, you know, a lot of physical, you know, things that you don't have, you know.
I mean, and, oh, I felt like, did anyone else hear that?
No.
Oh, my headphones went, okay. Anyway.
Back to my dog whistle. I was not.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I have super hearing. I don't know. But speaking of that, all I could think of is like, you know, I hope gotta you gotta root for the little guy.
Yeah, I understand that.
Did you get my little thing?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Curtis thinks I'm funny.
I think she's hot. That's why you're laughing at everything she says. You know.
Then you have to laugh.
No, it's okay. Khaleesi, this was a very big episode for her and her brother. I was amazed at her eating the horse heart.
Like, yeah. Bethany, you cracked me up.
It was so gross. It was so disgusting. I mean, before that, we get a huge piece of information, which is
you think
that
our viewers are focused on
us
right now.
It's so hard right now. Can we like fast forward to this? Because
viewers are focused on us right now.
I mean, it's just oh wait, I think it's ended now. Has it ended?
Yes, it's a long thing, but yeah. Because now it's going to be the old switcheroo. Well,
thank you,
Jesse. There we go. There we go. There we go.
Thanks,
it's all right. Where was I?
You were so doggone.
I can't even remember where I was.
Oh, we were talking about the Khaleesi and how we get a huge reveal
at the top. We get this big piece of information, which is because she's been going dragon. Mm-hmm. I'm dragon blood. I love dragons. Mm-hmm. Dragons are inside of me. And I think we finally realize she's just not like talking about dragons because it's poetic and it sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. That she actually, fire does not harm her.
Yeah.
She puts this egg in like this burning coal pot and she's holding on to it and her servant comes over and is like burned and she realizes that she is untouchable when it comes to heat and fire. So that was a really fun discovery because it's been building and building and I'm like, okay, when is this gonna happen?
Yeah.
And so we get a nice little reveal.
And there is a little bit of a little more of a point to that, in my opinion, was that later in the episode, we saw her brother get scalded by something that was hot.
Yeah.
And she says that is because he was not the dragon.
Yeah.
So it's although they have the same blood, quote unquote,
he's not the one.
I'm skipping to the other episode, aren't I? Anyway,
No, that was
the same episode. Golden. It's just at the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode.
When they kill him, right?
Yeah, I think he's killed.
Well, I think he's dead. Yeah.
He's dead.
I don't think there's...
You never know in these things. Sometimes they come
surprise.
Back. But the other thing that's interesting to me is they're kind of... She, in my mind, is the opposite of, like, a White Walker, who, in my opinion, is, like, kind of powered by the cold and can survive all the cold. And she's kind of powered by all the heat.
Interesting.
So like that was my little, like... I wonder if we go back, they always talk about her ancestors being like the dragon men and her mad king. I'm always like, is there a connection there? Like, are
probably.
They not that normal? Or, I mean, obviously if she's not getting burned by coals, something's a little different about her. Yeah. But I'm wondering if it's more definitely into that supernatural field area.
Do you think in the end, this is venturing way up, but do you think, and then that they're going to, her tribe, per se, the Drogos or her son, are going to be the ones that are going to fight the White Walkers eventually or sometime?
I think she's going to be the one who's going to, like, have the power to, like, kill them or something. Because, I mean, we heard within the last 2 weeks that the White Walkers were sleeping and not actually gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that maybe the only thing to get them permanently gone is someone like her who has
a dragon.
The fire.
The dragons are sleeping right now too. They're in the little shells, and they haven't, you know, they haven't awakened yet.
But they're probably...
And neither has she. Basically, she hasn't really. Well, she's just now starting to awaken into her powers. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so.
Or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, she
definitely.
She's I get you, Sarah. Yeah.
So that's where I don't know. That's what's making my wheels turn.
She's
I guess is
not
these
only
little...
beautiful, but she's smart.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Viserys, her brother, correct?
Viserys, yeah,
Viserys,
I think so.
Her brother, who is, I mean, I have not rooted for him at all,
no.
And he's, you know, he's kind of the antithesis of Khaleesi.
Yeah.
And so in this episode, he gets what's coming to him, so to speak, because
he's been asking for it.
He kind of has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, it was kind of, in that ending scene. I mean, first he tries to steal. let me take that back. He sees her eating a heart, and he finally, after on episode 6, realized that they love her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, You didn't get this earlier, but I think he's so self-obsessed that it's taken him this long to see that. He tries to steal the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. It looks like he went out drinking in the middle of the day. Right? I mean, because when he comes back, he's like just bubbling with kind of narcissism, and he looks like he's drunk.
I definitely had the same thought as like, oh, can we stand up straight? I don't know.
Did you go out to the bar in the woods?
I know.
And have some wine?
Happy hour in the woods.
I don't know what happened, but he comes back and he demands his throne.
Yeah.
And his crown. And I mean, this episode was very on the nose with calling it a golden crown because he definitely...
That's pretty bold. Like he's surrounded by enemies per se. I mean, he's surrounded by people that love his sister.
Yeah.
And he just tolerated her. And he keeps poking at the person that they love. Like, you're asking for it. You know, it was like you said, it was bound to happen. And I'm kind of happy that they got past that and this guy is dead. Cause he's like, I mean, he was like poking. And I'm like, how many times are you going to poke these Dragarians and nothing happened? You know, are they really who they, you know, these horsemen and powerful as they say they are? And they have these customs that you just can't violate, because he kept violating them with the Khaleesi. Yeah. I mean, that's the queen, you know, even though it's his sister, he kept violating their laws and stuff like that. And Drogo, you know, he kept violating and pushing them, saying, you know, ain't so bad by messing with his wife.
I know.
So much as, in fact, that he put a sword to his sister's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thinking, oh, here it comes.
Yep.
And he got it.
Yeah, he got it. He got a golden crown.
And
now
golden very heavy. Crown of death.
He is no longer with us, or the character is no longer with us, which is, you know. And now that he's gone, I think I'm going to miss him a little bit, because he was... The actor did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
I mean, we just detested him immediately.
Absolutely.
And he just did such a great job that you knew what you were getting. And so that was a lot of fun. So I will. I'm sad to see him go. Maybe I can't imagine him coming back.
I'm not. You will be, because there's so many antagonists that are in this this show. I mean, somewhere one goes, another one fills the void. So it's like on to the next one. You're like, wow, and you just keep building and building and building. So much, in fact, that, you know, you two girls at the end of the episode 7 were pretty upset. So
we were really upset. Yeah. But at the end of 6, we see the king in his bed and Lord Stark by his side, and basically the king signs over the kingdom to him until, you know, his rightful...
supposedly his son.
But he writes his heir.
Comes of age,
Which was kind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, a man on his deathbed, and you don't want to give him that bad, really bad news. Your son isn't really your son.
Yeah.
FYI. So it was done in kindness. I mean, it was... I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it was done in kindness. Like, I don't think as... a friend, Ned could go in and be like, oh, I know you're dying, but this is very important. You should know that everyone around you is really lying to you more than
you
think.
You have nobody alive that belongs to you.
Exactly. It's like, sorry.
FYI, I'm your only friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See all those kids around? They belong to Jamie.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's like, sleeping with his twin sister.
Yeah, you don't,
how nasty is that?
You don't really say that to someone. I feel like they're just like, What would he do?
Yeah, that would just
be the worst
like,
death ever. Yeah. I mean, he's already gotten stabbed by a pig. It was so funny. He says,
I love that line.
Yeah. Robert, do you have it written down word for word?
No, I don't think I did. But
Robert
it was
taken down by a boar or something.
Yeah, he
killed
said
by a pig.
Yeah, he killed by a pig or something like that.
He basically, and he says it with, about himself in third person too. Yeah. That was my favorite part. He's like, oh, Robert Baratheon. Murdered by a pig.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh my gosh, it was
well,
so
it,
funny.
It is. There's a lot of irony to it because he was this ruthless soldier,
chubby guy
that like led armies, and then what got him a boar?
Yeah, when he was drunk. I mean, that's all we've really seen of him the entire
exactly.
show.
It was.
That's how he's going
out.
He
ate a lot. He, you know, he was quote unquote a pig because all he did was sleep around with women. He talked about how he slept with women. So you know, women probably looked at him and said, "He's such a pig."
Yeah,
and he was taken down by a pig, so it's a twist of irony.
I like that.
There you go.
That's really funny. When we get to seven, episode seven, it opens up with the Lannister's father skinning like a moose or
a deer. Or some.
It was a deer.
Large thing with hooves.
A big stag.
Which I thought was interesting that it was like it was a stag and he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty.
That's what I felt like that was
communicating for me. Whereas you know, as he's talking to Jamie, Jamie is afraid to get his hands dirty. Well, I don't know if I'd say afraid, but he's
more like unpretty. That's what I feel like. It is, it's like, hold on, I'm pretty. I can fight. Why should I do that? Like, I'm up here. Let my cook do that. That's
and aren't they
I
supposed to be like stags? They represent stags, right?
Robert was the stag.
They're the lions.
So he's
skinning a stag. And so it's...
That represents something.
They start with a really strong image. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jamie doesn't want to kill Ned in a way that is
dishonorable
because
he's a dishonorable person.
He already is, and people are already talking behind his back, and it really bothers him, which is just it's fascinating what like Jamie's moral choices. Like, I'll push a kid out a window because I'm having sex with my sister. However, in front of all these people, now that you're injured, I can't kill you.
I don't want you to think anything bad about me.
This death in front of people is not going to look good.
Yeah, it's not going to look good at all. So it's like, really?
His morals, I would say, would be the complete opposite of Lord Snow's.
Yeah, you're right.
And we finally...
Lord Stark's?
No, Lord Snow.
John?
I feel like
you're talking about John
up by the wall.
Yeah, John.
John Snow.
Yes, and I feel like he is like one of the most honorable characters.
He really is.
In the whole entire series right now, and that's why I feel like Jamie is just like the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's Ned's quote unquote bastard son.
He is.
So
it's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's so much. Oh my god,
I love it. You know, you guys are all pissed off, and I'm thinking like, wow, this is getting great. You know,
because
like,
we're rooting for Ned.
Yeah,
we're gonna come in with some Team Ned shirts.
Oh yeah,
I feel like more than anything, we're just like against the Lannisters, except for Tyrion. But like, really, I feel like we're really against Cersei and Jaime.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I know that I am. I'm just like, really, they can't win. They can't win.
No, they're not. See, here's the thing. What we're not paying attention to is that although Ned is struggling, his kids are gaining momentum. Like, every last one of his children are getting groomed to be stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
So they're filling the void, per se, and building up the legacy. What's his name? The Lannister's...
The father.
Yeah, he was talking about legacy and about family about the name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Stark's name is starting to become, you know, John's in the, he's in the north at the wall.
Yeah.
Jeff, what is it, Jeff?
Rob?
Rob. Rob is, you know, he's doing his thing. And then you have Bronn, he's learning how to become a horseback rider with no legs.
Mm.
And then Arya, you know, my girl, you know, she's becoming an expert swordswoman.
They're all kind of fighting on their own.
They're building up these names in different places, and eventually that's going to come. I see. Well, we'll get to that in my predictions, but
okay. Let's go to Bran real fast, because they're in the woods there, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's having fun riding around, and it's great, and then they lose him, and the hill people come out and attack him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, push comes to shove. They, like, a bunch of the hill people die, and they spare this one girl's life. And I found it very interesting that when the redheaded whore was leaving on the turnip truck,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it was like one woman's gone for that
mm-hmm. hold him.
Yeah. And now him. this other woman's appeared for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like there was a shift of places that
one
occurred.
Beautiful, one pretty on the outside, but she was yucky on the inside. And then one that didn't look so seemly on the outside, and she's very intelligent on the inside.
I see. Yeah, exactly.
It's like that, which is interesting because we said the hills. We said they're people from the hill, but she was talking about that she was
not hill people. North
of the wall. Yeah, she was north of the wall.
Okay.
So, you know, she's like even coming down is anything coming down north of the wall is mm-hmm. is south.
Yeah,
south to me.
And she basically gives a warning. That,
yeah.
That
so is she a wildling? What is she?
She's a wildling.
I think she's a wildling. She's not
a wildling.
She's not a White Walker. She's a wildling, yeah. which rule under the king who rules above the wall.
Yeah.
There's a king above the wall who's like against the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then so she's one of like his people. But I think about these two women that you guys mentioned, mm-hmm. like the whore going down mm-hmm. to King's Landing and this woman coming from North of Wall to Winterfell. I think they also carry a lot of information. Like, she brought us this information that they're fearing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that they're real, that they weren't sleeping. That's, like, mm-hmm. her piece of information. And I think that I want to say her name's Rosalind, but
I just call her the redheaded whore.
I know she's that's wrong. Yeah, the redhead.
Ho.
I guess, who's down in King's Landing. I think she's going to be information because she's right next to Littlefinger, who's just knows so much. And yet she has a connection to the Starks.
Yeah.
And Starks down there, too. So I think she's going to play some
part. Something. Yeah, she has to.
She has to play a part.
Because she's kind of learning. Like, we heard, like, there's a scene where that's basically...
Well, the scene is basically a lesson in whoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah, he was teaching them.
Yeah.
It's a lesson in whoring and then a reveal to what...
Peter's not so...
What Littlefinger's true goals or intentions are.
Yeah.
Because up until that scene, we didn't really... We knew that he loved Lady Stark. We just didn't know...
Where the beginning came from.
Like... What his intentions were.
Yeah.
And in that scene, I think we figure it out, right?
Yeah.
In that scene, we figure out he says, like, I want everything.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, in that scene, I found him a little insane. I mean, like, it's always been, like, I've known he's had this obsession with Kat and been like, oh, I love her. But I kind of thought it was, like, one of those, like, I'm a good boy at heart, but I play this bad boy type things, like... But this, to me, really was like, I'm power-hungry, want all this stuff.
Yeah.
Really freaked me out a little bit. Like, I thought I was like, oh, wow, you aren't as stable as I thought you were.
No, right? I didn't think he was stable in the first place.
I did not see
him. But there was something, it was a little bit...
Snaky.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was creepy. Yeah. He got, you know, before, I wasn't quite sure, but now I'm like, I don't, you're...
Him and the bald-headed guy, they slide around. What's his name?
They call him the Spider.
The Spider, yeah, they both, like, slide around the kingdom a lot, you know.
Yeah, they do, and the Spider sends a message to... the spy, Khaleesi's I don't know his name.
I know he's like the outcast, the person who is a traitor, like, who sold people.
Khaleesi's best, basically her confidant there. It's the only person now that her brother's dead that has joined her from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a message from the Spider that says he's basically been released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At which point you can see that he doesn't know how he feels about it, and he like stops a assassination on her life because she was about to be poisoned with
some
wine.
There it is, right there.
Yep.
Ironically,
it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't know whose side he's on anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
I kind of took him saving her from this poisoner as them telling us that he is now officially on the side of Khaleesi and Call.
Okay.
Because how I looked at it, I don't know if I'm right, it's just that he knew.
Yes.
Like, he knew that that guy was going to poison, like, because
he
was supposed to, like, let it happen. You know what I mean? And then it was, like, him being like, wait, I want to be on this side.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it. And, like, we later saw him even be honored by Khal Drogo being like, look, this is my gift to you, a horse. And, like, I guess that's a really, really big deal. I mean, to him, he's like...
Yeah, we're going to go to commercial real quick, and then Curtis and Sarah will be right back with you.
Okay.
Because I have something to say to that. That's funny.
Okay.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
Okay, I thought it was so interesting that Drogo was like, I'm giving you a horse. And then he was like, but for you, my unborn child, I'm conquering the world. Yeah. And you're like, wow, I get a horse.
Yeah, exactly. He gets everything.
But yeah. that was quite a speech that Drogo gave.
And, yeah, it really was. Because it seemed as if they, you know, the Dragarians, they took a lot of, like, a lot of mess, basically. They were really cool, calm, and collective.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need to cross water because that will kill us.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. You know, we're okay. We're fine being where we're at. And then once, you know, Robert's men supposedly did what they did, it got to the point where he was like, I'm fed up.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm going to take everything.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a pretty powerful message that was sent.
It was a powerful scene. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I got my juices got, you know, I was
you were feeling
right. I wanted to ride with them. You know. Let's get on horses.
I was just going to say, it was such a huge moment. Like, we've seen the Khaleesi, like, try and convince him, being like, you know, we could go across, please. And then all of a sudden, it's like one little thing under her life. And she's like, and you kind of see it. She's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's my husband.
Yeah.
We're gonna go.
It's true. That's sexy. Of course, that's her husband. Uh-huh. And then that's we finally go back to the
Seven
wall.
Kingdoms.
And Lord Snow is there, and he's the one with the white fur, and everybody else is wearing black. I mean, he has to pop a little bit.
TV.
It just needs to happen. And so he finds out that he's just going to be a steward.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, he finds it as terrible news. But his friends kind of put him in place, which I appreciate. Because he's like, oh, poor me, I'm better than this. And they're like, hey, you idiot. This is,
like
a really crappy life
that
we have, and you need to suck it up. And he's actually training you for command.
Yeah.
So rather than, like, wasting you in the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they go out to, like, pray to the tree. Which was a fun shot. As we were watching the shot, we're like, they're totally reading that off a board right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a piece of cardboard, like, above their heads out of the shot.
I know.
And they're both saying this prayer. And then it cuts to, and you see the tree, and its eyes are bleeding. And you're like, okay, all right.
Which
whatever.
Is great for me as an actor. Sometimes you just want to read lines, and it's just right there instead of you memorizing those things and making it yourself.
I thought they did a great job because, like, I was convinced that they had it memorized. I was like,
everything was great.
No, they haven't memorized. They know it. It's in their heart. They need to say these words.
Long.
No, I feel like with all those procedural shows, like if you watch like the behind the scenes things, I mean, this isn't a procedural. This is more of a soap.
Yeah.
But they do. They have their lines like hidden on the computer and like on their clipboards and. Whatever like nursing equipment they have, because it's a lot of technical jargon.
A lot of dialogue,
And that was
a lot of dialogue.
It was. Yeah. But we find out that Lord Snow's
uncle is missing, and you know, then the wolf brings out like this like arm, like this hand,
and this is like right after his horse came back without him on it.
I know. So it's there's trouble. There's trouble up at the wall. It's brewing. We're ready for it.
It's starting to build.
Like everything that's been happening, all of this exposition is coming to a head, and it definitely does at the end of this episode, because the king dies, and everybody's in his like his last few hours. Everybody's trying to figure out what the heck to do, and he finally passes, and Ned comes up with a plan with Littlefinger. It breaks my heart.
This Vienna sauce. I can't even say anything. I'm just distraught.
Right?
But really. Yeah. Like, really, I'm
This is
okay.
the first time for me that the name, the title of the show rings true to me. Game of Thrones. Because when, like, this episode, everyone was gaming for the throne. Like,
everyone,
even the Dragarians, they're like, okay, we're going to ride, and we're going, you know, and then they're the Lannisters are like, okay, you know, my son is going to be the king, and then Ned is like, no, I'm the hand, and I'm king until Littlefinger,
the rightful heir takes over, and then Littlefinger is like trying to game it, and he's trying to align, let Ned know that they're aligned, and
secretly he wants his wife,
and Ned walks into the throne room with Littlefinger
backing
and,
his men.
Yes, and his men all thinking that like we've got it. Here's the letter from the king with his seal. Is it Sir Bannister?
It's basically the guy, the head of the king's guard.
Sir Griggles. Yeah.
Okay.
Sir
Barrister. That's
Which one?
Who it is.
The one
who's right. He was literally right in front of.
He's the head of the king's guard.
Oh, yeah, the head of the king. You're talking about him. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
He's like, you're an honorable man. Read this. Okay. Read the king's letter. And it's like, he has the king's seal. And, oh, God.
Cersei basically ends up taking this letter that says that Ned's the protector of the thing until the rightful heir comes. And she goes, oh, it's a piece of paper. Rips it up. Ned's like, I don't want any blood. Men, basically Littlefinger's men, take the woman and the child in the room. I don't want any swords, like, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, Cersei basically snaps her fingers, and all of the men that Littlefinger promised to Ned turn on Ned's own men and slaughter them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was heartbreaking to me.
Well, it was exactly what Littlefinger said. I mean, those men were bought.
Yeah.
And he turned that. You remember when he turned the knife and he said, the one that actually pays them. And it's Littlefinger that pays them. So Ned was backed by an army that was paid by Littlefinger, who actually wants Ned's wife. And that's the ultimate for him, is to have his wife. So, you know,
it was horrible.
Whatever, he's going to get her.
It was horrible. It was so angry. Awful.
Did you expect that?
I was not expecting it. I had no idea. I was, like, ready for Cersei to kind of, like, get hers.
Exactly.
And her son, who has been awful, by the way, and not nice to the other kids.
Yeah.
For some reason, that really bothers me.
I'm the king.
Not a good kid.
Give me my toys.
Yeah, but I
expected it. Reason why I expected it is because he was being backed by Littlefinger, who wants Ned's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, a man that has this kind of twisted kind of love, where he's in a whorehouse and he's not sleeping with any of his whores because he's saying, "Oh, you look at you." It's a thing. He's a pimp. No, he's a pimp.
Okay.
And pimps normally sleep with their whores,
don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like maybe that day he didn't.
No, he actually was like, "No, I've never." He's like, "I'm saving myself for this one person."
Yeah.
He did say that. I don't trust anything that comes out of his mouth.
I honestly believe
the only thing that
is actually trustworthy about him is that you can trust and believe that he wants Ned's wife.
Is his love for Lady Stark.
Mm-hmm. How does he think that this is going to help him get Lady Stark?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm going to capture your husband and you're going to love me for it.
Well, because here's the thing. Littlefinger is going to try to come out clean in this because that's what those kind of people do. They they use other people to guide someone else's hand to come out clean. And he, at the end of it, looks like, you know, he's going to look like the Lannisters mm-hmm. plotted it and stuff like that. And okay. he had to do it type of thing.
All right. Let's move to predictions real quick.
That was my prediction. That's fine.
Oh, that was your prediction. Okay.
Well, that prediction, let's go to the rest.
Yeah, well.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
My goodness. Sarah, what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. Like, I don't even really know
Choose
what
one.
To go to.
Choose one.
This is so difficult. I'm going to have to give me a character and I'll give
okay,
you a
okay, okay. I'm going to say Lord Snow.
Okay, Lord Snow. I think he's going to something's going to happen to Ned. Snow's going to find out. He's going to be very torn about what to do. I also think that they're going to start using Ghost or him to go find people out north okay. of the wall, because obviously the dog found this body in the midst of the nowhere land. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a really big tool for the Night's Watch. I think they're going to try although John has been set to, like, be a steward, I think he's going to end up still north of the wall. Okay. I think he's going to be out there. I think he's going to be looking. I think he might get back and find someone, something. Like, he's going to come back with proof or something of these White Walkers
All right.
to exist. I think there is going to be once he finds out what's going on with his family, I still think he's going there. I think we're going to see a struggle for him being really pulled between the Night's Watch and his family. Because okay. now he's taken this oath. But if he has a royal command to leave, I just see, like, a lot of tension between those two, families that he has yeah. now. And then I see him bringing a lot of news of the White Walkers or something involving especially Ghost. Okay.
I think that Littlefinger, the way that he's going to get Lady Stark is by promising not to hurt her husband.
Interesting.
I'm going to say that's, like, I'll keep him alive if you stay here with me. And I don't think she'll sleep with him, but I think that, like, eventually he's going to try to corral her. God, yeah. that's a terrible choice of word, yeah. corral, as if Woo. She's a horse. Woo. There's something, yeah. I think she's going to play with the price of Ned, because what else would get her there? I'm mm-hmm. curious what's going to happen with the children. I'm yeah. very curious to see what that is. But that's my prediction. Ta-da! Okay.
Do you got any more for us over there?
No, Chris? I predict that mm-hmm. when we come back next Sunday, you two ladies will be beautiful.
I love Aww. It.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There you go.
Thanks for listening, guys.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.